thousand years from below, that the rabbis were afraid of intermarriage. And because of this fear, they prohibited every Jew from eating bread baked by any goy called Passover. However, they found that it was impossible for the people to keep this gezeirah. It was impossible. It was too, they couldn't handle it. There were no Jewish bakeries. There was no Jewish bread. They couldn't eat Jewish goy, they were starving. They had to rescind the gezeirah. What a remarkable phenomenon. It says, oh, the gezeirah no longer applied. But they never rescinded it completely. They only rescinded it with respect to what's called pas palter, which means bread baked by gezeirah. It was impossible. It was too, they couldn't handle it. There were no Jewish bakeries. There was no Jewish bread. They couldn't eat Jewish goyish, they were starving. They had to rescind the gezeirah. What a remarkable phenomenon. It says, oh, the gezeirah no longer applied. But they never rescinded it completely. They only rescinded it with respect to what's called pas palter, which means bread baked by a non-Jewish professional baker. Go down the block to the store, you see Johnny the baker. So he can either buy his bread. Even though Johnny may have a daughter, Jane, and we're afraid that you may like Jane, but it's only a professional relationship, so the likelihood is very small, so they never made this gezeirah. However, if you have a friend, Jim, down the block, who's not a professional baker, he's a regular, plain neighbor of yours, and he bakes bread, then you may not eat that bread. You may have a daughter, Jill. And since the relationship is personal, not professional, the gezeirah remains in force.
It's
called pas palter. Palter is a Hebrew or Aramaic word. The Hebrew word actually is naphton, the baker. Ofer, a professional. As opposed to what's called pas balabayis, a personal relationship. Palter is spelled pei, lamed, tes, resh. And that's how we pass in halacha. There's a major dispute amongst the poskim. This din that you're permitted to eat pas akel, is it only if there's no other bread? You can't get any other bread. You can only get goyish bread. But if there's Jewish bread down the block, you may not eat pas palter. Why not? Once the gezeirah was removed, it's removed. There could be non-Jewish bread and Jewish bread next to each other. You're permitted to buy the non-Jewish variety. It's a matter of dispute. The Ramah says that the Shulchan Aruch was taught this way. The Shulchan Aruch says that you can buy a baker's bread if there's no Jewish bread. And the Ramah says that there are those who are lenient to buy a professional bread of a non-Jew, even if there is Jewish bread down the block. It doesn't make a difference. That's the custom in many circles. We buy OU bread, whatever it is. And even though it's very likely it's past Akum, Arnold bread, or things of this nature, they don't say whether a Jew who's baking it. But the minigas can be lenient in many circles to buy a non-Jewish professional bread, even though there's Jewish bread available. Of course, if the Jewish bread is twice the price, maybe it's not so available. Or if it's you can't get Jewish packaged bread, so it's going to go stale on you in 2 days instead of 2 weeks. It's also maybe not considered the same kind of availability. Okay, it's clear. Bottom line, according to Ramoh, it seems, there's no problem buying any bread as long as it's kosher, even baked by a goy. Shulchan Aruch said you should try to prefer to buy Jewish bread if it's possible. The first Pesachei Tshuva in the volume was a fascinating question. What if baked by a non-observant Jew, a Jew who's converted to Christianity? You wouldn't keep any of the mitzvahs. He bakes bread. May you eat that bread. You have a neighbor down the block, he's Jewish, non-observant, and he bakes bread, and somehow you know it's kosher, however you can figure it out, you know it's kosher. So the Tshuva says, yes, okay, Why? Afa pisha kata Yisrael. You know, he said he's still considered Jewish. Umuta lisa bito. You're allowed to marry his daughter. Let's assume he's married to a Jewish woman. In the year before he ends the marriage. So if the Jew is married to a Jewess, then you can have their bread, because you can marry their daughter. So we come with a balas tshuva, who knows what, and then you can marry the daughter. Not everyone agrees to this, but that's the psak of it. That's what the Pesukei Tshuva quotes. Okay. Yes,
sir. So along these lines, though, would it be usher to bake, to eat bread baked by, let's say, a mamzer?
What? Let's say can you bake bread made by someone who is prohibited for you to marry? The answer is no. They never made it there in that case. Only made it there about for intermarriage. Yes. Correct. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. We looked in the other class. The Saras in Mitzvah is a custom not to eat pots palma. Even though it's technically speaking permissible, and the Saras in Mitzvah, you know, are more careful about things. I'm not sure if I mentioned it in the other class, I forgot already. Last year, I heard a pshat by Rabbi Shachran, I think it was, who said it was a chaplain. And what kind of hypocrisy is this? All year long you're going to eat it, and you know you're going to have to keep giving it, go right back and eat it. So what's this business the first 10 days you don't eat it? Well, first day to eat it, what? Hypocrisy. Now you do tshuva, that from now on you're not going to eat it. You go right back, you know you're going to go right back after Yom Kippur. So it's hypocrisy. They had an interesting answer. The answer was, you look on a bottle of wine, and it says, a woman who's pregnant should not drink wine. Think of this nature. What kind of business is hypocrisy? Either you're allowed to drink wine or not allowed to drink wine. But the answer is, in the embryonic stages, in the beginning of the development, it's much more sensitivity. You have to watch out more than at the end. That's what he said, not hypocrisy. The 10 days of the first 10 days of the year, that's the beginning of the embryonic stage of the year. It has an impact on the rest of the year. So be more careful. An interesting muscle they gave for that, but that's it. I remember it from last year. Okay. Now, how do you obviate Pasach? Simple way that you should bake the bread from the beginning to the end. But says there's an easier way how to get out of the problem. And that is, if the Jewish person lit the fire, or even if he just stoked the coals, or even if the residual heat of the fire lit by the Jewish person is still around, even though there's extra heat added by the non-Jew. They say Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, they say the story is in his biography, he used to smoke a pipe. That a character, Yisrael Salanta, and go through all the bakeries. What's he going to the bakeries, Yisrael? What's he doing over here? So they say, and he would take a little ashes or something and drop it into the stove, the oven of all the bakeries. So it should be past Yisrael. Because even if he drew it a little tiny bit, consider it to be past Yisrael because he contributes a little bit to the heat. as opposed to if it's completely provided for by the non-Jew. Okay. So you, yeah? No. So you see sometimes on various packaged goods, you see Pasisrael. What does that mean, Pasisrael? Does that mean that the Jews baked it from beginning to the end? If you ever go into, I've been in some bakeries. You're hard pressed upon the Jewish bakery. Very hard pressed. Even in the Pasisrael places. Pasisrael. And then who's an advertiser? The answer is, if the Jew put on the fire, according to the minhag of the Ramah, it's considered to be Pas Yisrael. The Shulchan Aruch, by the way, doesn't agree. Makabe. He does agree. He does agree. It's a complicated issue with Hebrew. The Ramah certainly is lenient.
The first thing you just told that if he lit the fire, if he stoked the coals, or was it all he threw that?
If the Jew lit the fire, stoked the coals, or did something that gives residual heat, in other words, he made the fire hot, made a hot oven, and let's say, for example, they never cool down to room temperature. Never. Some ovens, they go on and go forever. They never cool down to room temperature. Never. But it's bad for the oven. So the fact that the Jew lit the fire a year ago, I don't know.
Who says that that's okay?
The Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. We follow the Ramah, so we follow all these things. Again, I mentioned before, we plain our custom is to eat plain pasakas, as long as it's made by a baker. It doesn't really matter. If you want to be strict and have pasisrael, you must have to make shuvah, you always want to have pasisrael for every. So it's assumed that this suffices. Yes.
Does this only apply to bread?
Does it apply to like pasta? Pasta is not bread. Pasta is not bread. No. The Shulchan Aruch does say over here, in the same sentence, in the Kufi Beis, is in Sif Vav. What about kichla or leker? I don't know what this means. Kichl? K-I-C-H-E-L? That's how they read out of the box. You know what Lekef is? Not really Yiddish. What's Lekef? Ki Lekef Tov Asadu Lekef. So what Lekef means? Honey cake. If any of you see Yiddish, you know what Lekef. That they told that big Kiddush, he said, Lekef and Bronx. You know the Bronx in this? No. Schnapps. That was what the Baba Barabba said. He came up with a Bar Mitzvah, it's only Lekef and Bronx. That's it. If you can't do anything else, because otherwise then people are going to start spending too much money and things. That's it. That was a traditional Kiddush. Lekach and Brom for a little honey cake, a little schnapps. Finished. So the Ramah says, Kichel or Lekach is included in the category of Pas. It's considered to be Pas Akum. And therefore, if the custom is to be leading by Pas Akum, not only is the Goy baked bread, even if the Goy baked cake. Even the guy baked kichel. Wait a minute. Obviously, there's something lurking in the shadows over here, which we haven't mentioned yet. It's time to mention it now. Well, if it's not Pasakum, then what else might it be? There's obviously some other problem which is lurking in the background, which we're obviating. What is it? Who knows? What that phantom, what that ghost? We haven't even mentioned this name yet. Anybody? That's right. Bishul Akum. That's the next thing. Torture is given. Pas Akum is not so bad. Pas Akum, we already said before, in many places the custom is to be lenient because they couldn't handle it. So they have to be very careful to know what's called Pas Akum and what's called Bishul Akum. Where do you draw the line? So the Ramah said that cake or cookies are considered Pas Akum is a tremendous leniency. Because if it would be considered Bishul Akum, it would be prohibited not only if Jim cooks it, but even if John cooks it. Those names familiar? Jim is your neighbor, John is a professional baker on the block. because the special dispensation of Pasakum, called Paspalter, according to almost all authorities, does not apply when it comes to Bishul. Bishul, I don't use the word palter, the cook and the baker, okay. Bishul palter, if the word palter means the cook as well as the baker, is prohibited according to almost all authorities. Then there are laws and big leniency. And he tells us that honey cake and cookies are in the category of pas, and not in a category called fish. Said the Shach, an unbelievable chumrah. That the only time that we have a right to be lenient in these cases of kichlich or lekech is what he calls blilasa oven. Lilasan oven. Belila, beis, lamed, yud, lamed, hey, means mixing. Mincha, belula, bashem, and vinisco. I never know that. Ova, what does ova mean?
Nope.
Thick. As opposed to what we call belila rako, which means a thin batter, soft batter. According to the Shach, that's not considered to be the category of pas. Let me explain.
For hard?
Hard is pas and soft is not pas. Let me give you an example. They don't know if you ever baked anything. Sponge cake, marble cake, you know, chocolate cake. That's all blila rako. Fours, right? If you think I'm wrong in the kitchen, you better tell me. I'm not an expert. Little I've seen all fours. Fours, not quite like water, but fours. What's blila rako? Challah. You ever make bread in your house? And cookies. Right, cookies. You make chocolate chip cookies. I've seen that. That's blila ova. That's thick. You take that batter and try to pour it. It won't pour anywhere. Dough. Not called batter, we call it dough. Dough is hard and batter is soft. That's the English language, what Webster says. Okay? If it's hard, says the Shach, then it's pot. If it's soft, then it's bishul. According to this, there are those who maintain, and now, if you're in the middle of eating, swallow quickly. There are those who maintain that enter into strength. Despite the OU, enter into strength. Why the trade? Because this is Blila Raka. They don't make too many hard. They make mostly cakes, right? Donuts, cakes. The cookies will be kosher. But the donuts and cakes, the mouth waters just thinking about it, right? Let me think of all trade. Mayan Gadudu. So it's all, someone told me they're behind him and passing in the enter with the trade. Despite the OU. Because it's Bishul Akum. Yeah?
Is Bishul Akum also all other sort of cooked foods, not necessarily baked goods?
I mean,
contrary, spaghetti sort.
On the contrary, baking is the exception.
Right.
Everything's the problem.
You cook in your house and it's sad.
That's right.
Okay.
I'll ask you a question, which is going to be a little embarrassing, especially for me. You eat in the cafeteria? I just came out of my supper. My supper is still here. Now, who cooks in the cafeteria? I don't look inside. All in? Let's speak through. Who cooks in the cafeteria? My guess is, I don't know what that goes on downtown, but I know a little bit of going on uptown. Go ahead. So wait a minute, so what's going on over here? The answer is, there are more. Minig Ashkenaz, any spot of it? Minig Ashkenaz, there are one Kufin Gimel says, that if a Jew lights the fire, that's good enough. It's called Bishul Yisroel.
How do you know they're
not doing
it in entrance?
They're not.
What?
How do you know they're not doing it in entrance? Entrance, if the Jew would light the fire, that would solve the problem. Apparently they're not. I guess they're having to find out. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. I just think someone told me in his name. But I guess he did a little research and said that they're not doing it, so therefore, out of bounds.
Oh, you do have to.
They think it's in bounds.
What?
Because they don't do the shots.
We'll come to the reasons why. I mean, they wouldn't give extra to the straight class for sure. They think it's kosher. We'll come to it a little later. But I'm pointing out right now a very important line. Is it pas official? Pas is the better of the two. Oh, you can follow this pas akum. What do you mean? Thank God it's pas akum. Otherwise, it'd be official akum. It's much worse. This is a major dispute whether something which is a soft dough, excuse me, soft batter and baked, is it considered pot or is it considered fishel? It's relevant to many areas, well, for us primarily, well, I can think, by the way, of four areas of halacha where it could be relevant, potentially relevant. Is it called pas or not called pas? One, fishalaka, that's our case. Two, challah. We'll get to later, the third kale, because there's a thing called challah. Next term. If you take a large amount of flour, mix it with water, that's to be mafresh challah. You ever see mafresh, ever see mafresh challah? Mm-hmm. You know, you say it every week, I'll shlo shadvar, I don't want to finish that mission today. So you gotta be careful about mafresh challah. Okay? There's a big dispute about whether the dechil of parshas challah, if it's a soft batter. This is relevant, for example, sponge cake. Let me think if you know the local bakery in your community take challah from sponge cake. My guess is that the answer is no. Don't feel so bad. Reb Chaim and Brisk didn't do it either. So I don't think Brooklyn's going to be more strict than Brisk. And Brisk, Reb Chaim says, this is a dispute, and it's what's called challah chutzlar, it's a rabbanan, don't be so careful. So if it's made from a soft batter, you're not required to take challah. This implies it's not called lechem. It's not called chamil lechem, or it's not called pas, it's not called lechem. This implies it's a shaka shak. Also relevant, by the way, in Hilchos Brachos. Well, the whole Torah comes together here. You know that in the Brachos you make a hamotzi on bread, and you make a mezonos and everything else besides bread. But you may know that there's a thing called pas habor b'kisnin. Very important category to be aware of. It's a kind of a, literally, the bread that comes with pockets. It could be like cherry pie, or maybe sponge cake, or maybe tam tams. Three different kinds which may qualify for this category. So what's the din in that case? You make a mezonos, but if you eat a lot of it, you make a mezonos in alamid, if you eat a lot of it, you have to wash and bench. It's really called lechem. It's a big dispute. That applies to tam tams, which are a hard dough. That applies to cherry pie, which is a hard dough. But what about our sponge cake, which is a soft dough? Would it be considered in the category of pas or not? So again, the same dispute. According to the shaf, no way. According to the others, it may be considered to be in the category of pas. Shulchan Aruch seems to consider it pas. It's a big dispute amongst the posts that we've shown and Achronim all across the board.
So what's the question about
Rabbi? Oh, you know, so in a certain sense, there was a bit of perhaps there's some inconsistency. There was those who don't or are not mafresh challah from soft batter. They don't consider it pas. And yet at the same time, when it comes to the issue of pas or bishalaka, they certainly consider it pas. Hey, trying to play both ends in the middle. So it could be you're right, because it's the rabbanon. Challah the rabbanon, the chutzlaretz, and pasakam is the rabbanon. So we sometimes cut corners a little bit. Could be that even those who are trying to play both ends in the middle. But it's a dispute among the rishon. Any questions? Yes.
Discussion about the shach and the shulchan aruch, which is it hard dough or soft dough? That's in kufiyut gimel.
Kufiyut beis. Shach is yud zayin. Yud ches. Kufiyut beis. Now I come to the much more thorny issue. You see, pasach and worst comes to it. We don't go to the gym. We don't go to John. Right? We're all right. No. Not so bad. It's a question of a chumra, or something about the mouth whips out pastro, or something. But bishalakum is really great. That's a big problem. Bishalakum, they never rescinded the xerim. That's a bad, bad scene. So we gotta figure out how we get out of the Mishalaka problem. So there's two ways. Shulchan Aruch, the opening line of Kufin Gilgal, there's two tricks how to get out. Number one is called Nechal Chai, if it could be eaten raw. Number two is called Eino Ol Al Shulchan Melachim, not fit for a king's table. The Zera of Bishal Akam was only enacted if it is Eino Nechal Chai and Ol Al Shulchan Melachim, not edible in a raw state, and if it's used at a king's table. What do you mean, a king's table? Simple shot is a state dinner, no? Well, the king has a breakfast when he's in his vacation home. That doesn't count. That's not a king's table. Then the king's like a regular balabas. A king's table means a state dinner, you know, or the... So the distinguished diplomat shows up, Rabin. Won't mention the other guy's name. So they come to the White House, so they have to have a fancy dinner. Make it kosher, anyway. So there's a fancy dinner with a fancy chef. That's the king's table. What he eats for breakfast, what he eats for lunch when there's no one around, he's watching TV. That's the king's table. Why am I emphasizing this? Because there are many posts who maintain, for this reason, that all canned goods are Eina Ola Shulchan Aruch. Finish. Because they would never serve canned goods at a state dinner. Tuna fish, sardines, vegetables, you know, all these things. Yes?
Does that mean you don't need
to
have
chakra,
like canned vegetables?
That's what we're assuming. If the king would not use canned vegetables at a state dinner, many years ago, I remember reading a gourmet critic in the Times. What do they call those guys? They go to all the restaurants and they say, this is good, this is bad, this is good about this one. Food critic, correct. I'm on the radio too. Anthony Dias Blue. I remember his name from CBS. This is years before in a different medium, in a newspaper. I remember seeing the most scathing critique possible of the vegetables in a particular restaurant. It was like beneath contempt. They're so bad, it tastes like a cup from a can. I said, well, that's all I thought. I walked that way. We always had food from a can. I guess if you're paying $10 in a restaurant, and it's hungry, whatever it is, they don't want to hear it coming from a can. So if it's coming from a can, and the diet critic says it's terrible, and Clinton won't serve it, even though Jimmy caught what happened with his barbecue sauce, but that wasn't the same dinner. So we assume. They say, I don't understand from Chazadish. Someone said from his name that when they wanted to be mocked the sardines, they can't for this reason. Well, who said the King of England, Queen of whatever it was, doesn't have sardines for lunch and in his palace? What does that mean? That's not a Shulchan Malachim. The king has a Shulchan Malachim where he has sardines with his wife or with his kids. That's not what. I mean, the state dinner, they don't serve sardine cans at a state dinner. They want to serve sardine, they say, go fish for it, and get it fresh, and then they saute it, that is this, that is that, that's what they serve at a state dinner. So I thought that this is a very good header for all canned goods.
Jar goods too?
That's what I think. Not everyone agrees with me. Yes?
So if you see the ingredients
on the
thing and there's nothing
not cooked
in it, does that mean
you
buy it?
What's it?
The can.
Well, it's not, absolutely not true. The can could have been cooked in the same pot they cooked lard. Unfortunately, there was even a celebrated case where they had a kosher symbol and they still found out it was cooked in the same vat that they cooked lard. How much more so if there's no kosher symbol? Except in the case, I mean, it's not really not to do with the simmer, but if there's something which is cooked in the can, then you're all right. You have to know what kind of vegetables are cooked in the can, what's cooked in the vat. So I'll give you a few examples. Peas, corn, are cooked in the can. There's no problem. The skin of the place will be called chickpeas, or Yiddish known as arbis. Consider all the shalom zachas and all the several kind of crazy things, you know, shalom shudas. I wouldn't even look at it, but it's Greek square. But the arbis, that's what had a scandal. Someone's in an action after they found it was being cooked in the same vat of lard. No more, no less. Think about item discoveries. Oh, boy, you blow the whistle. You know, whistle blow around the world. Poor guy was really reeling. It was a mistake. He didn't realize what was going on. So each and every product, you have to know how it's made. You have to check up. Tomatoes could be a problem. Okay, that's also what I'm going to pop. Anyway, that's my opinion. That all canned goods and all shulchan. That's what I think. Nah, all the shulchan alone. But as I said, not everyone agrees with me. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, the front of the bracha, quoted by his Talmud Rabbi Greenblatt of Memphis, said as follows. That there's a heter which we'll call, for want of a better phrase, super palter. In other words, a plain palter known as John, who's cooking down the block, and he makes you, Mishnah makes you a scrambled egg, even though there's only a professional relationship, nevertheless, the prohibition of Mishnah Lakam applies. Who's super palter? Super powder is something which is cooked in Kansas. You have no idea who in your world is cooking. You couldn't even find out if you tried. I'm going to marry his daughter. What daughter? Where's daughter? Who is it? It's so far removed. It's cooked somewhere 1,000 miles away. It's back in Kansas and sent. You get it 3 months later. It's crazy. It's so far removed that if your emotion thinks that strictly speaking, the whole issue of Mishalakma should not be applicable. However, I'm not finished yet. However, Rav Moshe was a little bit hesitant to make a radical statement. So he threw in some monkey wrench. He said that if it's cooked in a way that you cook in your own home, except the bigger quantities, then perhaps, he wasn't sure, we should be strict. Is what we call low plug. No distinctions. He's down the block, he's a mile down, he's 10 miles down, he's 100 miles down, he's 1,000 miles down. We didn't draw the line. But if it's cooked in the factory in a manner which is never cooked at home, such as, food factories, such as steam jacketed kettle, get out. Means that's a fancy kind of a pot, not the kind that you have in your home. Or a retort, or a steam, or all kinds of other different ways that they cook these days in the modern. They don't, you think in the factory, can't they have like a little pot like you have, you know? You put on the thing and you go, here's what they have over there. That is super humongous, not just bigger in size. Different kind of heat system. Steam coming in all kinds of fancy ways to get it exactly the right temperature. It's all done in an automated fashion. There are motions and it's okay. So once again, another reason to be mad at canned goods. Yes? Canned, well, as opposed to what? Called super palter. So that's far aside from the fact that in my opinion, not all our shulchan halachim, but aside from that, our merchants have a heter of super palter. Now of course, if this heter exists, then it applies to pots as well. Therefore, but in my opinion, even those who don't eat pas akum in the 10 days of Aseret Yom HaTshuva, strictly speaking, they're permitted to eat regular tavas, OU bread, and eat regular, I don't know, entomates, cookies, and all kinds of things of this nature. The reason being, this is not a hefter plain palta. Had it only been a hefter palta, then in a visual aspect, it would have been prohibited. Because we have a custom to believe by visual, it's obviously super palta. Super palta, never prohibited. Now, Sarah Samit Shum. Or maybe, I don't even know. Could be even El Ol Al Shulchan Malachim. Because the bread, I don't know, Thomas' bread, what do they serve at gourmet dinners? What kind of bread do they give you? Was it in the White House?
They sure give, they
do. They probably make their own bread, right? Mm. I guess. They wouldn't give you bread from a plastic wrapper. It could be another leniency, perhaps. Anyway, so these are the two at table. It's relevant to many different things. We eat, we do kind of food, we eat. No parched foods, whatever you eat, it could be a problem of bishalak. And one of the main atarim is Eina Ola Shulchan Malach. Or super palta. I don't know, Cheerios. What's Cheerios? What did you for breakfast today? Isn't that, it's cooked, no? Isn't it cooked? I imagine it's cooked in the plant somewhere. So what's that? It's cooked by going. The answer is, I think it's Eina Ola Shulchan Malach. They don't take Cheerios and stay dinner. Now Bill Clinton probably has to have breakfast every morning. That's not called a state dinner. Yeah.
So Entenmann would also fall into
this? I think personally, Entenmann has all these affairs. Entenmann's is Eina Ola Shulchan Malach. Come on. You're going to serve Entenmann donuts and dessert in the White House? Come on.
I should be so lucky.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Plus, it's what we call super palm. You don't miss the end. It's probably made somewhere, who knows where. So my house, we eat end of it. Not so good, it's a lot of cholesterol out of this. It's all right, but we'll eat it. We talk to talk. Problem is bishlakim in your own house. So if you don't have any non-Jewish people cooking in your house, you have no problem at all. If you do, there's major problems. And we can blame Jimmy Carter. Same guy. It's all Jimmy Carter's fault. I'm not kidding. It's his fault. He takes the full blame on himself. Yes?
Did you see that super applies if it's very, very hard?
Not far away by a plane first. It's cooked in a factory 1,000 miles away. I have no idea where the world they cooked it. That's what they're much called. They have their superpower.
So if it's cooked in
a that's what we could have said, maybe. But Moshe wasn't sure about that. He said, well, we should restrict the hand to a case in which he cooked it in a different fashion.
So for the example, like Eddie, they bake in one oven, like
one oven? Sure. They have these huge ovens. I've been in bakeries. Humongous ovens. They're going on conveyor belts with fires all over. It's a different breed. I mean, I've been in some of these bakeries. It's far from your oven as, I don't know, a 747 from a helicopter. I mean, it's just a completely different type. What's Jimmy Carter? What's Jimmy Carter? Why am I so angry at him? Well, he was president in the late 70s. It was a severe energy crisis. The Arabs had an oil embargo in 74. I don't know if you know about this. It was a tremendous disaster. He became president in 76. It was still bad news. Not even an all-year-long gale like Denver's time, 74. But it had then they had 8 months daylight savings time. This is a horrendous, before some of you were born. But that's the way it was. So Jimmy Carter decided, I have a way to save energy. Just to catch it now, the country which wastes billions and billions and billions and billions of gallons. He's going to save energy. He made it illegal to have a pilot light. So much energy to be wasted on pilot lights. You have to put it on 24 hours and have these little teeny weeny little lights. It's such a joke. Drive around the block, you're wasting 10 times as much. You can't stop driving around the block. They can stop it from buying the pilot light up. And not to submit. Because of him, there's a big prohibition act. Before Jimmy Carter, and those who still have soaps that predate Jimmy Carter, so there's no problem. Quote the Minigashkinats, you light the fire, and the guy can come in and cook all he or she wants, and there's no problem. It's called Bishal Yisrael, because it's a fire. After Jimmy Carter, and then they have what they call electronic ignition, so it goes off completely stone cold. You're not just transferring from a Jewish fighter, which has a luck of a Jewish fighter in most sense. He's starting from scratch. Starting from scratch is a Jewish fighter. It's a Jewish fighter, it's a special act. This is really a disaster. And why is this a disaster? Because there's so many Jewish homes where they have a tradition, they know that they saw their mothers in the 1960s and early 70s, they used non-Jewish help to cook. So now, in the 80s and 90s, doing the same thing. But they didn't realize Jimmy Carter. The mothers had a pilot, so it's okay. They have no pilot. It's not okay, but they haven't woken up to that yet. So there are many homes, unfortunately, where Bishul Akum is being consumed day in and day out. Now they enter the working woman, goes out to work, and leaves the non-Jewish person at home taking care of the house, taking care of the child. And yeah, she goes around cooking and everything. It's Mamash Bishul Akum. There is one view which said that if it's a shivcha, it's a servant, so there's no fraternization, no problem. Very difficult. It's probably going to be old before Abe Lincoln, another president. Before Abe Lincoln, then maybe it's a shivcha. But after that, forget it. Look at American history, this class. Yes?
What if the president has no children?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Yeah?
The gas stoves today still do not
use catalyst? Well, my gas stove has one because it's from 1970 something or other. But if you have one new, I don't know if you're allowed to buy it anymore.
You
can. I think in industrial you can buy it, but not in domestic. Could be in some states have they still changed the law. I don't even know what's going on anymore with these things.
Between
New Jersey
and
what?
You lift up the top and there's
anything
underneath.
Right, there's a light there all the time.
All the time.
No, you lit the fire the first time.
When
you bought the oven.
Okay.
Yes?
The second you plug it in, the light, the little flame goes off? Or when does it go on? You turn it on and
out.
First plug it in. Let's see how
it happens.
I'll plug it in.
I'll plug
it in. When it
moves into the house, there's no, you have to take a match or can then light it, and so a Jewish person does that. You're home free forever.
And you're
only
turning on yourself, it's okay also. You turn it every morning.
Yeah, that's gonna be turned every morning. That's who does that though.
Yeah.
No.
So in other words, if she bathed, if she left it in the sand, babysitting a kid, she could train the kid to turn on the
light. That's absolutely correct. Kid 6 months old, a little tough. Yeah?
Well, first of all, it doesn't matter so much if the 6 month old is eating. If the maid makes 6 month old their cereal, is that a problem?
Yeah.
We'll
get to that
later. Wait, that wasn't what I wanted to ask. So, oven. Yeah. I mean, that's always a problem.
Well, the old, my oven has a power light also.
Yeah.
is a major problem. This widespread ignorance of this halacha, and I mean widespread, very widespread. Yes.
If she cooks for herself, does that make the pots a problem?
There are two opinions about that, and Shulchan Aruch, two days, two views. Shulchan Aruch writes in a Kufi Gimel, Kalim Shevishlo Berakum. So Tzricha Mecher, V'yesha Mecher, and Tzricha Mecher. Well, there you go. Some say yes, and some say no. Only one leniency. If it's made from earthenware, which usually we'll see later, you can't kasher. So here they gave you a break and they say you put it in the water, hot water, three times. It's good enough. But it's not so simple. It could even deposit tray.
Could you put that on screen, please?
Yeah. The question, what about the pots? A non-Jewish woman cooks for herself in your house. She cooks an egg for herself, eats it herself. What is it? What is doing a pot? Two opinions. Some say it's trick, some say it's not trick. So what do you do? What do you do? Yes?
I have a question.
Yeah?
Okay,
let's say you're
getting on your children's cleaning. At least you could just do it, but you turned off the light, you turned it back on.
Oh, no. Well, what you do is no problem. When you at home and put the light on. But if not, they're trained, and in case something goes wrong, they transfer from one of them to the six of them. They transfer one to the other. So we hopefully we're okay, I hope. Yeah. So what do you do? You have a non-Jewish person in the house and you want that person to cook for a child or cook for you. You come home, if supper's ready, and you have no pot left, so what do you do? Yes? Started at 1, they finish at 4, and you're at work from 9 to 5. A yard site?
Yeah, and she lights a yard site then, so then she lights the fire, but instead of turning on the switch, she
could
light the fire
by
using the yard site.
That's true, but I have to trust her to do that. It's a little bit of a hassle, what she should do. Yes?
At what point is it too late for you to
do it? It's a big dispute. I'm saying it's fully cooked.
the floor. So they start at one, they finish at four, and you're at work from 9 to 5. A yard site?
Yeah, if you light a yard site lamp, so then she lights the fire,
which instead of
turning on the switch, she
could
light the fire by using the yard
site. That's true, but I have to trust her to do that. That's kind of a little bit of a hassle with what she should do. Yes?
At what point is it too late for you to distribute?
It's a big dispute. So I'm saying it's fully cooked, it's mostly cooked. I'm going to go with that. That's not the solution. I have a solution, yeah.
Does a person actually have to do something involved in cooking, or could they like take out the dishes that's needed and take out the spoons and set it all out? Is that correct?
I have a solution. I never agree with me, but I think I'm right. The solution is... Microwave! What's so special about microwave? There's no fire. Look at the Shulchan Aruch, the way I read it anyway. Lo atzru ala bishul shel eish. So right there I'm off. He's coming to contrast it to something different, to soaking it for 24 hours, like the equivalent of bishul. Since he requires eish and microwave has no eish, I think it's permissible. I think that he cook any microwave, no? A regular microwave that's usually used for reheating. But they cook anything nowadays, no? They cook on the recipes. Well, cook shouldn't be there. Not convection. I'm all about pure microwave. No fire. That's the best that I can do. Not everyone agrees with me, by the way, but I think it's good. Yeah. I don't care. As long as the gzeira was not made, same as it comes over when it comes to smoke. If it's smoke, it says, the ushan does not come to the ushan.
But it'll make a difference in someone's marriage or his marriage.
You can make many gzeiras. The Chazal made a gzeira on something called Bishul Achor. If it doesn't fit that category, they never made a gzeira. Yeah, end of story. You know, there's a reason why you want to put it in there. You don't shouldn't be more firm than the Chazal. Yeah?
I don't contribute
like
with turning on the fire, and I just contribute later with
anything
that's okay.
Yeah. Electric burner is H, yeah. That's the problem. That's why I recommend an electric bridge. That's H. It's very hot. Red. Fire. Yes.
How are you allowed to leave going in the house alone? Knowing that they're
going to
listen to you.
Well, the problem. Major problem. They're going to get trade. They're going to get everything else. But most of them can't do it. Midrash America is that they leave the non-Jewish person there alone. They try to take precautions. They don't cook anything. We know that we'll steam our own food. We reheat it in the microwave. You know, and hope no one puts mixed milk and meat. Yeah? Playing with fire, but the meaning of America is the meaning. Much is not happening with this thing. See, they always had these things in Europe. They always had non-Jewish help in Europe. But one big difference. The Balabosta was around the house. So she'd come in and check up, and she'd play with the fire. That's what it says in the Ramo. But today, she's an investment banker. What kind of shit? She's in Wall Street over there. Different world. Yeah. That's very good. Good question. I think it's Buddha. That's what I think. If the Jewish person will set the timer for the light for the electric burner to go on, the Jewish person put it on. Okay, it took
5 hours just to go on. In my opinion, it's okay. It's an interesting gimmick that they tried. I think Rabbi Heinemann tried to patent this gimmick. The big problem of Mishalak in one of his places. You know what he did? He put in a permanent electric bulb. Jew plugs in a bulb in the oven. And it's all about still time, 24 hours, 7 days a week, the bulb is on. Rabbi Heinemann said, look, the Jew contributed to the heat. Rabbi Strauss had to drop in a little tiny bit of ashes, whatever, it was a little bit hot. It's good enough to take care of the problem of Bishalakim. So I have an electric bulb. It's on all the time. That should be good enough.
Where's it on?
In the oven. You get an engineer. These big industrial ovens. You have a bolt, and you leave it on the whole time. So even though the oven's going on and off, but the bulb is in there coming. It's on all the time. So if I had shoes, so then Mimela would take care of the whole problem of Bishalak. So he writes, so he does. Many Rabbanim ridicule this. Yeah, ridiculous, but the book. I thought he was right. What's wrong? No. Matter of dispute again. Okay, this is a very major topic, Mishalak. Wow. Watch out. Very careful. Don't know about the whole thing. Or they don't adjust to new realities. It's a big issue. Any questions? All right, now we come to Kuf Yud Dalet. You're not permitted to drink beer. Fear of intermarriage. If you drink it at a bar, you drink it home, it's okay. Right. Only prohibited in a place where it's set aside for drinking. Question is, how far does this go? Is it limited to beer? Alcoholic beverages? Does it apply to non-alcoholic beverages? Matter again of great dispute. Frankly, in my opinion, I don't want to listen to me, but I'm fine anyway. I think it's a big problem to go to these cocktail lounges for the yeshiva boys go to. I don't know. I don't understand how to do that. It's a place just set aside for drinking. You drink there. And according to those authorities who maintain that even non-alcoholic beverages, there are many. You can't order Coca-Cola. Talks about coffee. Talks about coffee, Bishalako, he says, that there's a leniency for. Because the major ingredient of the coffee is water. And water is natural kind. Drink water in its raw state. So therefore, that's not such a big problem. But this extra din of drinking in a cocktail lounge may apply even to coffee. You know, it's not alcoholic.
Problem.
Some places they have a following leniency. It's not exclusively a drinking establishment, it's also for eating. Some authorities say if it's an eatery as well as a drinkery, then it's not considered like a bar, based on shtos, shalak. It's not considered a drinking place. I don't know. I'm told some of these towns are exclusively or primarily for drinking. Uh-huh.
An eater, then you're
going to
have a bar
aside. Yeah, but if you're in a hotel lobby and they have to, everyone understands why you're there. You know, no one knows, don't expect you of doing something to grow.
Barely.
So what is everyone basing their being
made of? I don't know, they think it only parts out. How is grammar just going to take this? I don't know.
But the lobby's kind
of what?
Hotel lobby is
the same as cocktail lounge? Well, if they're serving only drinks, right, then it could be, theoretically be a problem. Yeah.
If I'm they're like having
fancy
like made there, or they
didn't
have it made.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's a big problem.
So do we extend it to all other alcoholic drinks and to all other are there non-alcoholic drinks as well?
It's a matter of some dispute. Some are lenient. Some can't come out too hard. But I think it's a problem. Most possible things have a strict view. All right, yes.
What about like
if
you're on an airplane or
something? Airplane?
Yeah, they walk around the car and all
an airplane, not a cocktail lounge. An airplane. You're flying there in Stroll, or to Europe, or to Florida. They're giving you a couple of months now. I don't think it's Florida. All right, we've discussed now Pasakum and Bishalakum, and we call Beit Mishtol Shalakum. Well, now we come to the real one, which is Cholavakum. Oh, talk about a matter of dispute. Says the Gemara that if the rabbis prohibited milk, which is milked by a goy. This has nothing to do with what we said until now. Until now, all the prohibitions were from fear of socializing leading into marriage. Pas, Bishul, Mishtem, Shtos. Now we turn to Kasha's concern. Here they're afraid they mixed in pig milk. Now, you're probably wondering, how is it possible that in this yeshiva they sell Delwood milk or Elmhurst or whatever they call these days? Plain regular milk. How can it be? It says in the Shulchan Aruch, Cholav Akum is also, this is all Cholav Akum. There's no Jew watching the milk in the cows. So there are two answers. Some say, come on, pig's milk, they don't mix pigs in milk. They don't mix pig's milk in nowadays. The problem with that is it really shouldn't matter. We have a rule called Dovash and Dominion Torah Minyanat HaLatira. Once something was prohibited, we call a minion by a formal vote of the Bezdin, if you will, then Torah Minyanat HaLatira. It's also forever unless some other group, which is even greater in numbers and in wisdom, rescinds it. So who cares that we don't have pig's milk nowadays? That shouldn't really matter. There's another reason to be lean. That's where Moshe's Feinstein that's how has and many others before him and after him. Which is that our milk is cholav yisro. Why? Kabbalah writes based on sources. It's not necessary for Jew to actually see the milking. You see every last cow? I can see every last, they're milking 20 cows. You go, ooh. You can't see every last one. Possibly can't follow the pattern. Is it possible? It says in the Shulchan Aruch, you see in the beginning, you see in the middle, you see at the end, it's good enough.
No, not the
Hashem. There is no Hashem for most mills. The reason why we can be lenient is, after we've dumped on all the various presidents so far, the federal government. The government has supervision. The government wants to ascertain that when they say it's cow's milk, that it is. Not pig's milk, or camel's milk, or horse's milk, or any of that. So the government gets a Hashem stamp. They go around and they check from time to time to make sure that in fact is cow's milk. P.S. I think it may even have been dealt with. It was called the major scandal once. Remember that? Not pig's milk. You know what they used? Powdered milk. They ran short. They took powdered milk, two principles of water, they threw into there. So the government does capture from time to time, which is the good news or bad news. For those who are leaning to, you see, the government's watching. You didn't see it with cheating. You know, that's how you want to look at it. That's Rav Moshe's basic point. That it's considered called Yisrael. The Yisrael knows for sure that it's kosher. How does he know? Because Uncle Sam told him so. Yes? That's a new business. You know, they didn't have it until recently. OU had a policy until recently never to put an OU on such things such as plain milk for fear that people would misinterpret it as it's a kind of a call of Yisrael and someone's been watching it the whole time. They never did it. So what happened was the Charlotte Hashkafa started picking it all up. And that's hard to find milk that's safe anymore. As an OU, or as a blump, whatever, I'm mentioning other names. But they're not as good as the OU. The OU saw about some of the action too, gotta pay rent, guess what? So let's just get into the act. In the same way as the innocuous something or other K is on the milk for the innocuous, OU's on the milk. How does it mean anything? I don't think it means anything. Maybe it means the vitamin D is kosher. That's not really. Vitamin D is probably could be trade, maybe, it's quite buckled anyway. It's just one tiny amount. They throw some vitamin D, maybe that's what it means. Maybe. Yeah?
Any of the percentages of that Hashkafa is fine too. You're not just talking about whole milk. Any.
You mean skim milk, 2%, 1%,
3%?
Yeah, they're all kosher. The Rav Moshe wrote in this tshuva that even though he thinks it's mutter, but still, since the ancient minhag, he felt the call of the Jew actually saw the milk, it's better to keep that minhag. So many yeshivas, they have it that way. In Rav Moshe's own house, his children drank delwood, whatever equivalent existed then. Rav Moshe himself was not meant to have what they called that J&J. Still around. But he wasn't knocked for his family. And he wasn't knocked on the Caleb. That means he ate from the same pots that the Rebbetzin made him his stuff, which this made to an hour before she made cereal with regular milk for the kids. Nowadays in some circles, don't you call these throw you a shake? I don't understand. Yeah? They're holier than the Pope. All of them are much. It's not a racket. It's the name was meant to describe our Moshe in the most glowing of terms, and those who are holier than him and not such glowing terms. It shouldn't be so fruit. But, can't argue, especially see it. The Mamash Moshe and Abish for this. They will not drink any milk. Finished. Also, Lubavitch is one that is gone for second place. Don't drink milk. So they can get a call of Yisrael. That's it. The little kids don't drink milk. Finish. That's why they had to nurse the babies. They wouldn't give them formula. Is there Chodesh Av formula yet?
No.
There is? Similac is called Yisrael?
Yeah, there's gotta be some.
Gotta be? Yeah. Well, there wasn't a few years back. I don't have anything now. Yeah? Anyway, sword. No, no, at all. No? Call it Yisrael Similac. Yeah, we'll take any places. Oh, man. Call it Yisrael Similac. Okay.
Does this only apply in America or any?
I don't know about other countries. Uncle Sam is reliable. Superpower.
Uncle Pierre.
But, yeah, I don't know what's going on in Europe. I don't know. I can't take a crack. I don't know. But yes, Brad, it's part of the people in the various, you know, other countries. In Eretz Yisrael, no problem. It's not. That's what happened after this little story here. But until now, all the dairies are Jewish hands. Sure, you can find a chumrah. Chal Shabbos, like a goy, most people are not strict about that yet. It's waiting, but it hasn't happened yet. Now, your other dairy products we have to discuss, aside from milk proper. One is powdered milk. Cheap has a franc, which you probably Yerushalayim, it's faced a very difficult problem. You know, Yerushalayim was under siege. Couldn't get any milk in it. All that was powdered milk from America. Cheap pays some steady things, there's room to be lenient, to drink plain powdered milk that the Xer never applied to it. For whatever reason. So there's some hashkafas which will not accept regular, what we call chol of stam, a plain milk from Delwood, but they will accept powder. Various processing, chocolates and all kinds of other things. Yes, I'm sorry. I was just saying, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Traveling
abroad is a problem. I mean, maybe it's a potential problem. What about butter? The Shulchan Aruch says that if there's no specialized custom to be strict, one can be lenient. Why is butter more lenient than regular milk? Because milk from a non-kosher animal would not convert to butter. Yeah? Butter, those cow's milk, you sort of leave it around and do a few little tricks to turn it to butter. Apparently, pig's milk does not. Never tried it. Ice cream, I believe, is the same as butter. So there'll be someone in your house who won't drink the milk at your table, but will eat the ice cream. You think, look at this guy. But it tastes good all of a sudden. Nothing to do with that. The ice cream is like butter, but it's mutter. Some are strict even on that. Oh, what about cheese? Yeah. Cheese. There are two kinds of cheese. There's something called hard cheese. Hard cheese requires rennet. Rennet is an enzyme which takes milk and makes it hard. Hard cheese. So therefore, there's a gzera called Gevinas Akum. This is a very serious problem. The reason for this, according to most authorities, is that they were afraid to use a non-kosher rennet.
right, of a non-kosher animal, stomach lining. And although it's a very tiny percentage, you already mentioned in the past, the dover ha-maimin, no bottle. Ha-maimin means something which puts something on its feet. It puts the milk on its feet in the form of cheese, so it's never bottle. So there's a big problem with cheese. That's why I have to buy cheese with an OU or some other Ashkach, which is reliable. Even if you know for a fact that they use artificial rennet, synthetic vegetable product, or from a kosher animal, doesn't matter. The restriction applies across the board. This has reference to hard cheese. What about cottage cheese? So, Rabbi Moshe, the Kohen of the Rav, has an interesting tshuva to Rabbi Schwab, the Kohen of the Rav, about cottage cheese. She writes that cottage cheese is mutter, since that form could be attained without rennet. How? Pine. Leave the milk by itself. It'll break up into what we call, as you know from Little Miss Muffet, curds and whey. Whey is the watered down milk, and the curd is the recipient cheese. So basically, you'll get cottage without rennet. Even though you happen to have used rennet, it doesn't matter because it could have gotten the same result without rennet. That's where Moshe's finished. And even though on our cottage cheese there's some liquid, and the liquid is milk in effect. For Moshe, when I already ordered sugar before, that milk is also milk. If you use hard cheese and you have ashkacha, the Jew is watching to make sure that the rennet is okay, may you use plain milk? Rambam says yes. So you can take milk, meat. Again, the business was trade for meat. That's just incidental. The main point is the skin, fur. Incidental, so this domino just happens to come to your. Let's say, for example, you're fishing for kosher fish. So you throw out the net, you get out 50 kosher fish and 2 trader fish. You'll have to sell it. So you make a score with trader fish, also going to talk. That's just incidental. That's not the main thing you were fishing for. Clear, everybody? Yes.
You said before that there was a meaning there from the Torah.
Right.
Doesn't
have all the time. No. There is a Torah intent. The Torah didn't say anything about it. The rabbis went ahead and agreed with it. The Torah says it's mutter. They cannot prohibit it. That's one of the reasons given why the Torah, why not have a bris milah on the 8th day on Shabbos? Aren't they afraid to carry the knife, they can carry the S, carry the lulav, carry the shofar? But one of the reasons given is it says the Torah, how much we need the Shabbos. Positive. We'll have to stop here, Mr. Next week we'll continue the mission with what? Same thing that applies to me.